Welcome to Egyptian Mysticism Yesterday, A Course in Miracles Today, a 365-step journey to enlightenment, guided by Dr. Caroline Isis Fuqua.
Step 81. According to the teachings of ancient Egyptian mysticism, creation began with God's desire to bring all that existed in divine consciousness into form, or to reveal heaven in the earth plane. In order for that desire to be realized, a vehicle had to be created to bring the light into the darkness. I am the only created thing that holds the pattern of God consciousness, and so, while in form, I am that vehicle, and it is my responsibility to fulfill that desire. However, in order for me to execute my function, all that is not God-like, all that I attracted thinking I was different or separate from God, has to be given forth, that is, forgiven from my consciousness. Step 82. God only has one son, and that son is creation itself. When I have released all ungodly notions from my consciousness, I remember my function, and I remember that I share that function with all of my brothers and sisters. And even if one or the other of them is walking through the world in an amnesiac state, knowing the truth about them brings me peace and joy. My function is to bring and maintain light in the world, not to defend or attack, but to love it all as I be and see God in it all. Step 83. I was constantly upset when I believed that I was wrong or that I had failed. And whenever what I made up my function was from one moment to the next did not turn out like I thought it should, I was left feeling wrong or as though I had failed. How thrilling it is to know that I have only ever had one function, which was to clear the nonsense from my consciousness and let God's light shine through. I can do that. I will do that. And the idea of being an emissary of the light makes me very happy, for I know that at that I cannot fail. Step 84. The law of correspondence teaches that what is above at the level of Creator is manifested perfectly in what is below at the level of creation. However, when asked to describe God, we generally come up with an abundance of powerful and positive adjectives. And conversely, when asked to describe humanity, we far too often use adjectives which suggest weakness, insufficiency, and numerous other expressions of negativity. I am mistaken when I think that the created is different from the creator. When I think I am weak instead of powerful, a victim rather than a creator, I become angry and filled with grievances. I want to attack or defend. Today I choose to align with my true nature. A perfect mind can only emanate perfect thoughts, and I am a manifested thought of the divine. Step 85. Remembering the law of polarity, I know that light and dark, or love and grievances, occupy opposite ends of the pole of being. And whether I dwell in the light where love, abundance, and peace abide, or dwell in the place where the sweetness of perfection simply cannot exist, is up to me. I am lost or saved by my own choice of identification. When I choose to connect with myself as an emanation of the divine, the pain and frustration that attend the separation from that simply disappears. Step 86. God's plan for salvation is upheld by the law of mentalism. I will save myself or destroy myself based on who or what I think and say I am. When I choose to stand and identify with God in love, maintaining loving, godly thoughts, I have no grievances to toxify my consciousness and destroy my circumstances. My grievances confirm a misunderstanding of the law of mentalism, which, when understood and applied correctly, guarantees that I experience fulfillment in every area of my life. Step 87. Creation is a manifestation of God's will. God willed that creation be a mirror, a reflection, an outpicturing of the divine. In creation, however, polarity is a necessity. You cannot experience or know anything except in relationship to its opposite.
You cannot have an experience of love without an understanding of fear, or of light without an understanding of darkness. Even though we walk in polarity, we must maintain an understanding that we abide with God in unity, and thus the mandate, be in it, but not of it. In the beginning, God willed we stand in the light. There is no will but God's. Today, with the full understanding of that, I choose to stand with God in the light and experience the benefits therein.
Step 88. The real world, not the one perceived based on faulty beliefs, but the one God willed, is created and sustained by universal laws, and those are the ones I am determined to live by. God wills that there be only light. However, the law of polarity suggests that I can close my eyes or be blind to the truth and experience a darkness that would be hell to God's heaven. I choose to honor no laws but God's. I don't need locks or guns. I need to stand on the light side of the pole and think thoughts that will heal, enrich, and save me from all harm. Step 89. Miracles are not extraordinary occurrences. They are simply what happens when we choose to stand in the light where everything is full of the goodness of the divine. According to the law of polarity, miracles and grievances cannot coexist. We have to turn away from the realm of the miraculous in order to have a grievance. When I have grievances, I have forgotten the law of mentalism. I have forgotten that I create by my thoughts everything that happens to me. As the image and likeness of God, I know that I am entitled to miracles. Step 90. If I were not created in the image and likeness of God, I could indeed have problems, many of them. But since I am, the only problem I could have is not remembering that. If I forget that I have a choice to be as I was created and know with every fiber of my being that I am whole, perfect, and complete, then I will feel vulnerable and thus constantly afraid. However, I choose to remember that, and so as a result of my unwavering awareness, all of my potential problems have been solved.